Hey, welcome back to the Agentis Pulse audio podcast. I'm Peter, the entrepreneur Ortman. It's Sunday, August 30th, 2026, and this is episode 2603. And I call it Building the Vision, One Piece at a Time. And if you notice something different with this episode started today, you weren't imagining it. The music you just heard is called Feel the Pulse. You know, last week I used a Hawaiian reggae vibe type of music, which I just kind of took off of YouTube, nothing, no major production or whatever. And I thought, you know what, it doesn't really sound that great. It doesn't come through very well. But again, I'm not really producing this in any kind of, you know, production mode. But I thought, you know, maybe I need to write a theme song for this. Well, that led me to writing 7 original songs that I created and completed over the last week. And it's, you know, kind of unique. But now I didn't sit down and write all these songs and stories and, you know, ideas over the last week. A lot of them have been sitting in notebooks and files for the various projects I had, where I always knew I had to create a theme song, something for the Angelpreneur, you know, web series. And then now the movie 2034, which, wow, that's really a mind blower. I'm going to share some stuff with you on that today. But, you know, I've had a lot of people get back to me over the last week, and they're saying, you know, Petey, I really love what you're doing. You're building a physical agentic AI technology company. And I thought to myself, well, I never really looked at it that way. But, yeah, I think that's a pretty good description. You know, we're taking an AI mind, combining it with human intelligence, and then, you know, taking an AI-empowered workforce and ultimately connecting that intelligence to physical infrastructure, real businesses, products, and, of course, experiences. So AI doesn't just live on the computer screen with us. It helps humans make things happen. And, of course, in the physical world, that's important because that's our version of physical AI. And importantly, humans remain at the center of it all. You know, most people fear that AI is going to replace jobs, and of course it will. But every business cycle, every new technology changes, and you know, you lose jobs. Companies go belly up. People, you know, get fired or get laid off or whatever. The point is, this is not uncommon with any other industry. I kind of explained a little bit about that last week. But that having been said, artificial intelligence, AI, finally gave me the creative tools to turn all those song ideas into, you know, finished music. And it was fun doing it. It was relatively quick. And, of course, you know, you have to put in the prompt and you have to design the sound structure and the musical, you know, style and rhythm that you want. And then you got to listen to it and adjust it and modify it. I mean, it's not like, you know, lickety-split, you get a song. There takes some work, but considering the work you would have to do in the old traditional sense, this was a total piece of cake. And of course, Agentis uses Suno as the song production company, but then you can use, you know, chat and other large language models to create some of the prompting tools. I mean, it's a process, but the point is, they turned out some really good songs. I mean, I'm pretty happy with it. And I'm asking you to go listen to them and tell me what you think. You know, through Agentis, these are the kind of programs that we're going to bring to our companies and to our people. You know, because if I was able to take all these ideas and songs and emotions and the visions that I had to tell stories through music, it becomes a real communication tool that really helps, okay? And I'll come back to that a little later in the episode, because these songs aren't simply just music. These songs are becoming another communication tool within the entire APVG Club Zero ecosystem. And that fits perfectly with what today's episode is really all about. Turning a vision into something people can see, hear, touch, and ultimately experience. because a vision sitting inside somebody's head is exciting, but it isn't worth very much. Eventually, you have to build it, you know, but first you have to also feel it and hear it. And so that's why I think the music adds a whole new element now to what we're doing. So if you've been following the podcast, you know that much of what I've been doing in the past several months has happened behind a computer screen. You know, a lot of business and financial models, the Agentis Interactive website, the Club Zero reward structure, Clear Blue Oceans, Reef Shark Apparel, of course, the 2034 Agentic Leadership film and series that we're planning to develop here further. We made a lot of progress on that the last week as well. Then you've got the Love Cruise Club, and of course, Marissa's Reef for Heavenly Helpers, the inspiration, heart of the entire operation. And of course, the artificial intelligence empowering hundreds of pages of ideas, plans, concept, images, and strategy that I've developed over the last couple of years, basically. But eventually, you have to leave the computer. You have to get away from it. You have to go out and into the real world, you know, meet the people and find the people who can help you build what you're trying to do and actually make things that you've been doing real and turn it into real companies. And that's exactly what I did the past week. First, I'm closing in on our official offices here in Las Vegas. I've been looking at some places. I've got it in mind, a small office that has huge growth potential, and we're going to try to get our initial team there. And, you know, I expect a little bit of resistance from some of the remote workers, but I'm pretty adamant about bringing them in the office because I want to see their face. I want us to work together as a team. And, you know, I'm a little old school when it gets to the Zoom meetings and all that. I'll let my managers deal with that. But my managers and I are going to meet in person. They're going to be at our office, maybe not every day, but, you know, the goal for me is to bring them into an office environment. It's more professional, and, you know, the world's gotten used to remote work, and we're not an exception to that. A lot of my stuff is done remotely. I have a team in India. I have teams all over the place. You know, not what I would call teams, but people that I've worked with, companies that provide their software applications, and I won't name any names here, but, you know, there's a lot of them that are integrated and already what we're building. You know, one thing is I'm not looking to reinvent the wheel. I'm looking to integrate existing technologies and applications and equipment and stuff that already exists. The point is I'm just trying to make that equipment useful and make it produce something of value. You know, there's machines that convert waste plastic into oil that can empower generators to make power. There's equipment that can, you know, call atmospheric water generators that can make drink-ready water out of humidity. You know, this equipment exists. We don't need to reinvent it, but we can apply that equipment to making our projects what they're going to become. And again, a lot of that stuff is explained on the site, maybe not in detail yet, but some of the songs, Building a Human Future, that song that is under the music tab on our site, explains our whole resilience structure, which will use atmospheric water making plastic to power and those things. But anyway, you know, this week I got out, of course, and I went to the ASD Market Week here in Vegas. My primary mission, of course, was for Reef Shark Apparel. You know, we've been designing hats and visors and shirts and bags and a whole bunch of other logo-branded merchandise. But designing a product and a manufacturing system requires a couple of different strategies. You can either make it all yourself, or you find partners and manufacturers that can private label the product. And of course, I went to the show looking for U.S.-based manufacturers and suppliers, and quite frankly, those were far and few between. There were a couple smaller companies making, you know, hats and stuff like that, but the majority of the people are based in China. And the quality of the product that I saw on display was top-notch, first class. The stitching, it's just quite amazing. I've had some hats made here in the States, and the stitching sucked. Okay, but, you know, and it's supposed to be top quality. But when I saw some of the stitch patterns and the things, the detail was pretty amazing. And, of course, the price point is ridiculous. Problem, of course, it's China. It takes, you know, 90 days to get anything. And now we got tariffs and other things. So, you know, I'm going to have a survey put out on the Agentis Club site here, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. I want to know if made in the USA hats are as important to you as a listener versus a hat made in China. You know, ultimately, my goal is to bring everything in-house and in the U.S. But, you know, initially, we've got a lot of hats coming up, and to save time, save money, I'm looking at maybe finding the China manufacturers to help us get started with it. Anyway, you know, at least at the trade shows, when you go to local shows, you can touch the products, you can see the stitching, you can feel the fabric, you know, so you really get a better feel for the actual product. You talk to the people, and, you know, anyway, this is nothing, it's not rocket science here. It's just a matter of choice. And anyway, so the show was, I give it a 50-50. Okay. Of course, I already have leads for U.S.-made hats, which are four times as much money. But, you know, the quality's not bad, and I'm going to get some samples, and I'll make a decision. My team and I will make that decision. And I'm still looking for somebody to run Reef Shark Apparel, and hopefully they'll be on board in the next couple of weeks, and they can then help me find all of these, you know, particular manufacturers. Now, I'm going to another show, and I'll share with that in a minute here. But one thing we learned, too, is that, you know, finding these manufacturers is not really as easy as one might think, because China has a pretty good, I guess, control of that, you know, the hats and the beanies and the visors, because they just pump it out by, I mean, literally the millions, okay? And anyway, so we'll see where that all kind of takes us. My next stop will be the Printing United Expo here in Vegas in September. And my goal there is not just for Reef Shark Apparel, looking at embroidery machines and equipment that we're going to need, screen printing and, you know, stuff like that, but also for BizWorks, because they're also, you know, print shops. And BizWorks, if you go to the website, you'll see we have OfficeWorks, MailWorks, PrintWorks, LegalWorks, and it's basically a company that's going to provide services to entrepreneurs and business owners. It'll incorporate you, service your resident agent, it'll provide legal services, mail addresses, phone service, you know, all that business stuff that you need. So if you live in California but you want a Nevada Corp, then BizWorks will set you up and help you do that. And this is a company that I'm setting up because we've got close to 50 different companies and brands that need to be established and, you know, set up and trademarked and service marked, and there's just a lot of work involved. So BizWorks will become kind of like the ecosystem business company, but then also going to be making business cards and flyers and menus and all that other stuff. And of course, CreativeWorks is part of that as well. That's the graphic side of that business. So BizWorks is kind of an all-in-one, one-stop business shop for companies to get set up and get their cards and their, you know, flyers and letterheads and all that stuff. And of course, we could farm it out to other people and stuff, but then, you know, I had some cards made recently for Agentis, and I got them back, and the address is wrong. And it took me like 2 weeks to get the cards. You know, it wasn't a lot of money. But the point is, we just don't have the control. So I had to felt pen out the address. And it just, I hate doing that kind of stuff. But this is the way it is today. Nobody checks anything, okay? And, it, you know, I can't look at everything. So I try to get things done, and I depend on the people and the contractors and the agencies and the graphics people and all that to do the thing. You know, I mean, here's my card. I need a card for this. It's not rocket science to copy the address correctly, okay? Anyway, I don't want to bitch. I just want to say that BizWorks is going to be able to become our internal place to make all of that, the banners and the show events and the expo stuff and, you know, all the stuff that we're going to need. I mean, we got so many things going on. Having our own little print shop is not going to be a bad thing. We'll have probably a couple thousand employees. I mean, we'll have business cards going through there on a regular basis, just as one example. So anyway, yeah, we're going to go to the show, Printing United, because they have apparel printing and embroidery and, you know, packaging machines that create boxes and containers. You know, we have a lot of fast food, so that's important. The printed books, I mean, like all the books and reports and, I have spent a fortune at Office Depot printing business plans and spiral binding all this stuff. So I decided, BizWorks can do all that. I mean, they can print this stuff. Are they going to print 10,000 of my books? Probably not, because it doesn't make sense to do that in that environment. But the spiral bound books, even though I might have 500 of the Agentis development strategy plan, we'll print that in-house and spiral bind them and offer them to our founding members and the people who, have their various appreciation gifts as outlined on our site. So there's a lot of stuff there, plus the expo displays, even our welcome centers and retail graphics. We have travel cafes we're trying to build, so we need, menu posters and travel posters and, there's just no end to the stuff that a business needs when they get set up. And never mind the gift shops and all the promotional stuff, the reusable stainless mugs and, all of that kind of stuff. So having a print shop is not, it's important. It needs to be something that we can develop. Okay, so let's see, what else did I want to talk about? Oh, and of course, I'm still looking for somebody to run both of these companies. And I'm not going to this show just to, look for somebody to print brochures. I'm really doing a lot of intel here, and I wish I had somebody to go with me by the end of September that can really see the show firsthand. So I'm working to find somebody to run ReefShark Apparel and BizWorks. If you're interested, get a hold of me, okay? All right, so let's see, what else? And then after United Printing, I'm going to go to DigiMarcon, which is kind of a marketing, digital marketing company trade show. You got a lot of influencers there and stuff, and we're hoping to, this is November 4th, so I'm hoping by then we'll be able to start launching our club and getting our social media and our affiliate programs and all that stuff going, even just in the beta stages, but we need to start getting out there, and we should be ready. At the rate we're going now, and things are starting to evolve, and we're bringing some people in. I got some news on that. The key here is DigiMarcon will allow us to introduce at the show. I'm trying to get a speaker spot so I can actually speak and introduce what we're doing, and maybe even an exhibit space, and really start going to town, showing people what's going on. Again, another show in Vegas. That's the third this year, this summer, or I guess November is not summer, but and there's plenty of shows. Then January you got CES. I mean, there's just so many shows here. It's great because we get a lot of exposure, and that's going to increase as we move forward. Storytelling is, of course, the key, right? Because we're not simply trying to sell memberships. We're trying to invite people into a mission, and that's what we're all about. The memberships are kind of a vehicle. It's a tool. But ultimately, we have this passion-driven mission to accomplish something really great. And again, I'm not going to bore you with those details. In the last episode, 2602, merely a week ago, I tried to step back from all the individual projects and explain kind of the bigger picture, right? What we're doing and why we're building it and why I believe the mission matters and why I think we can do it, and something interesting happened that I didn't really fully expect. But people were listening. And keep in mind, this is a brand new podcast. Last week was technically the real first real episode. This is kind of the second one. The first one was only about 8 minutes introducing what I call my launch, because it was the date Marissa, passed away, 21 years to the date. That's why you'll see 21 and you'll see 7 a lot. But the point is, I wanted to kind of memorialize the launch date, okay? We weren't really ready, but we were ready because that's when I started talking about it publicly, about what we're doing, where we're going. Even though we're not 100% ready, even today, there's a lot of content there that you can really grasp what it is we're doing. And apparently in the first full episode last week, people listened, like I said, and not just to the words, but they listened and understood the mission. And that episode has already generated interest from a couple of people. And I was very fortunate to find several strong, very positive candidates that already came out of the like that episode. It's kind of shocked me, to be honest with you. But you know what? We have a good thing going here, and I tried to lay it all out in a very transparent and fair and honest way. I mean, we weren't trying to inflate, you know, how great we are or any of that. We were telling it the way it is, what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're doing it, and why we want everybody involved to make it happen together. And that's significant because it really demonstrates something that I believed from the very beginning, that if you tell people what you're trying to realistically accomplish, truthfully and in a transparent way, and the right people then find you, you don't have to look for them. They come to you. And quite frankly, that's exactly what happened. Because, you know, I mean, I can pretty much update you now and tell you that I had an incredible meeting with a couple of superstars, in my opinion. Very positive meeting with two leaders that are going to come on board our team. And I'm not going to share their names today. I know we're not quite there yet, but there will be plenty of time for proper introductions as we begin assembling the entire leadership team. But I feel very lucky to have found, or I should say I'm lucky that they found me, because those conversations have already resulted in some very significant developments. I believe now I've found my Club Zero Rewards president. And you have to understand something. Club Zero is basically 50% of my entire ecosystem model, okay, once it's built. And we're targeting a public listing by 2029. So this is not, you know, some small little idea, little business. This is the big kahuna. Okay, so choosing the right person that I would trust to lead my biggest element in my entire, you know, architectural plan here, you know, takes a lot of, you know, thinking. I really got to feel good about it. And I'm lucky to say that I have a passionate and very, I think, talented person to basically take Club Zero exactly where I want it to go. And so I'm really fortunate. And like I said, we haven't worked all the details out yet, but, you know, that's coming here in the next week or so. And the second person also will be joining the leadership team. Not quite sure yet how those talents and experience will ultimately fit within the ecosystem yet, because we're still working on it. We have so many things going on, and there's several options that appeal to this person. And out of respect, again, I'm not going to divulge names or gender or any of that. I want to just be very clear that I'm feeling pretty confident that one podcast, and I already have two really superstars, and here's something that even surprised me more. Okay, because they're already, you know, thinking like a true entrepreneur about building the overall team. Even before they've officially joined my team, they're already talking about who else they know and who else could they bring in that belongs or would be excited about helping to build it. And that's exactly the kind of initiative and passion that I've been looking for in my key people. It's hard to find, but when you find it, it's like striking gold, and I'm feeling really good about that. And we'll see how it all works out, but I'm pretty confident that I've got a president for Club Zero Rewards, and that takes a huge load off of my mind. And, of course, I'll be working with this person pretty consistently because there's five divisions underneath that that are also very key, including the Love Cruise Club and all that stuff. So, you know, you have to find a person that you can gel with here because they've got to be on the same page. I want them to lead the team and that business, but we have to follow the architecture of what I'm trying to build collectively across the entire ecosystem. I believe that's well understood here, and I trust that we can make that work. It's not my way or the highway, mind you, but the point is there's a lot of stuff going on in the Club Zero model. Bit Zeros and the travel rewards, you know, the vouchers and the sailings and the eco sailing chart. I mean, I can go on. You can go to the website. You'll see all the logos and all the businesses. The venture group alone will launch literally six restaurants, and four of those are potential franchises. So there's a lot going on in Club Zero. But it's going to become a public company down the road, is the plan. And that's where the real value is, not just for our internal team, the employee base across the entire ecosystem, but also for our members who might want to become shareholders down the road. It's pretty exciting to be at that point because, you know, I'm always willing to meet with the right people because we're going to need a lot of exceptional talent. I mean, we need people just like these two because, you know, I'm willing to meet with them. I mean, anybody that wants to meet that doesn't simply want a job, okay? I want people who want to help build a company, that help build a culture, and help build a team around them and us. Now, again, I think I've made some of this clear, and I have some leadership standards on the website that I require everybody to read. You know, this is kind of our game plan. Leave the politics at home. Leave all that other BS at home. Let's get to work. Let's build a company. Let's everybody work together, and let's build something great and meaningful. For me, of course, Marissa's Reef is the meaningful element. We've got also the ocean issues that we want to help address. We have resilience issues where we grow our own food, make our own power, and you know, all of this stuff. So there's a lot going on, and some things appeal to some people and some things don't. But that's the beauty of what we've got. We've got a really, what Forrest Gump said, you know, this model is kind of like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're getting in some of these chocolates, right? Cherries, nuts, chews, whatever. Anyway, that's just a stupid analogy. All right, so today I'm recording this episode, and I'm glad to say that I got a couple leadership team already being developed, and that's within a week. So that's good. Let's see where we go next week. And my audience, of course, is still really, really like non-existent. So if I'm getting this kind of feedback, it's amazing. Of course, the podcast is on Apple and Amazon and iHeart and Spotify and, of course, Podbean where I record this. But I only started like 3 weeks ago, August 9th. So the fact that people are seeing it, hearing it, finding it, and taking action, that's really powerful. It says a lot. And, of course, that's what I mean by building the dream in real time. Sometimes things really do happen that fast. I mean, I'll introduce these new leaders properly in the future episode. Maybe, you know, I might even invite them into the Agentis podcast and let you hear directly for why they came and joined. I don't know. We'll figure that out. But and I'm not suggesting also that every conversation is going to lead somewhere like this. It probably won't. But that's part of building in real time as well. You know, you got to go through the meet and greet, and then you got to listen and learn. And, you know, everybody has their own story, and, you know, they got to know your story. And that's okay, because I think that's really important that we just get cut through all the crap and just get right to the bottom line. Here's who I am. Here's who you are. Here's how we can work together. Are we going to do it or not? You know, I mean, I don't need to see a bunch of resumes, and I really don't care about your, you know, 25 years, 30 years of history. I mean, I want to hear it. But it's not what I would base my judgment on as a leader. If I look in your eyes and I see the passion and I can feel it, you're in, okay? And it doesn't take me long to get to that point. I've made some mistakes in the past, which we all do, but at the same token, I've learned from those mistakes. So I know some of the signals, and right now I'm feeling really good about these two, okay? We'll move on from there. I have another one that's equally pretty incredible. All right. Now, let's see, what else did I want to... Oh, God, you know, funny thing happened. You know, I made these songs, and I posted them on the website here, I don't know, 3-4 days ago. And I pushed it out to some of my contacts. I have a list of people that I send stuff to say, what do you think of this? And what do you think of that? You know, they don't always read it because I send them a lot of stuff. But and I'll put it on the drive, or I'll do whatever. And I said, look, what do you think of this song? Or what do you think of this script? Or what do you think of this film? And I get some feedback, and that's kind of been kind of like my little hidden research off the grid, you know, am I crazy or do they like it, you know, kind of thing. So anyway, I did this song for 2034, The New World, I call it, the song. And it's the theme song for the, you know, it's called 2034 Agentic Leadership, the end of human politicians. Of course, very appropriate. I touched on it last episode, but... Anyway, so I finalized the theme song. It's kind of got that Matrix tone to it, okay? And, of course, inside it, I definitely use the PAPA, which is the People's Agentic Political Alliance, which was written and developed strictly for the film, but it became a central part of the whole 2034, you know, storyline, narrative. It's just kind of like I've jokingly referred to as the movement that isn't a movement. But so somebody listened to the song. I had a couple of people comment, said, wow, this is incredible. And one even said it reminded him of kind of like a Michael Jackson thriller type of tone, really kind of crazy. I said, oh, well, I wished. But anyway, so they say to me, God, I really love that song. I listened to it like six times, and I finally heard all the lyrics, and it makes sense. It would be so cool, and I would definitely join PAPA. And PAPA, of course, is the acronym for People's Agenic Political Alliance, PAPA. And I thought to myself, wow, really? And, you know, he said, yeah, I would support the PAPA objective. I'm interested in it. So I said, okay, well, you know what? I think I'm going to update our membership systems. And now we're going to include an optional checkbox that allows members to indicate that they support the PAPA objective within the 2034 story narrative. And, of course, technically they then become a 2034 fan club community, okay? We're not a political action party, you know, none of that BS. But it was just interesting because as we continue to write the storyline for the various film, you know, the book is pretty close to done. The storyline is what it is. But the storyline is deliberately being left open so it can be created in real time along with the growth of Agentis and all of the various, you know, elements that we're building in that whole ecosystem. So anyway, I'm going to add a little checkbox there. You know, people can join or not join. It's really totally up to them because, you know, there's no requirement, no automatic enrollment, just a choice. Because ultimately, it's important to me that everybody just choose for themselves what they want to do, okay? And, you know, before I really go on, maybe you should hear the first few minutes of the song just to kind of get you in the mood. And then again, I don't know. No, I don't think I'm going to do that because I think ultimately it's better, you know, I'm tempted to really let you hear it because it's pretty exciting, but I think it's better that if you experience the song the way it was designed to be heard, like from the beginning to the end, okay? I mean, if I give you a couple of little tidbits here, you're not going to get the big picture, so I'm not going to do it. Anyway, go to the website. You know, if you're already on the website where you're hearing this podcast, when you're done, then just click on the music tab in the menu bar, and you'll get all seven songs, and, you know, click 2034, or click all of them. I mean, you should listen to all of them. They're really cool. Again, they're all uniquely different. Now, maybe you've already listened to it, and, you know, that's great. Maybe you didn't understand it. Maybe you love it. Maybe you hate it. I'd love to know what you think. So through the contact page, contact me and tell me, hey, I love this song. I love that song. You're crazy. I can take it. Anything you want to send me, by all means, be nice, okay? Don't send me any hate mail. I won't read it. Now, the other thing is, you know, there's a lot of songs here. And, of course, the 2034 makes you, you know, if it makes you curious about PAPA, because PAPA has huge potential for a really coming into a movement itself. And, you know, maybe we'll develop that a little further as we go. But explore the story, explore the ecosystem, join the Agentis Club for free, just an email. And we did that deliberately. I explained it last week. But, you know, let's talk about the seven songs right now. This past week, like I said, I did something I couldn't have imagined doing even a year ago. I finally completed these seven songs that are in the library now in technically under 7 days. But they've been brewing for, you know, many years. I'll say 7 years. How's that? I love seven. The speed isn't really the story, though, okay? The fact that there are seven and that there is one each deliberately unique and created with a different sound to reach a different audience and to tell a different part of the entire story narrative, the whole ecosystem, that's really the story that made these songs possible and, I think, uniquely beneficial. So as a side note, I had to, you know, also basically, well, I guess I had to be very clear with some of the song lyrics. and the story concepts and the outlines, because they did change a little bit over the years. But, yeah, again, when you listen to them, I think you'll get them, and you'll understand what I'm trying to accomplish with each song as it relates to the particular item. Like, the theme song for The Angelpreneur is obviously for that, and I'll explain that in a minute. Anyway, AI changed all of the things that I thought I would not be able to do, you know, like creating a finished musical production. I thought that would take editing equipment and all kinds of recording and dubbing and all that other crap, you know. And of course, I'm not going to sing, you know, my voice isn't going to be it. So everything you hear is AI generated voice. There's no real people singing. I want to be clear about that. But then again, that's the mind blower of AI. The fact that you can have these sounds, I mean, it's truly amazing. Again, I'm the writer and creator. I'm not the artist who sang it, okay? But when you listen to it, I think you'll be, I think you'll be impressed. And I'm not out to impress you, by the way. It just, I think the songs have a lot of value. Now, I didn't want the seven songs that would all sound alike. You know, I mean, I didn't want that. I wanted them to be unique. So, you know, because the music, of course, tells a story. I mean, let me break it down. I think that's the best thing I can do here. Feel the Pulse is the new soundtrack for this podcast. And it needed energy and momentum. And I kind of use a reggae vibe, kind of a Hawaiian vibe type of like music thing, okay? And anyway, it's kind of the island theme. And that's just the way that is. Living the Love. Now, this is the one that needed a more elegant, luxury, you know, saxophone, blues, jazz type of thing. Luxury focus to make you feel like you're already sailing across the ocean on a luxury ocean voyage experience, quote, love, cruise. And that's what that song represents. 2034, The New World, needed to feel cinematic, futuristic, and kind of with a Matrix-like over, you know, soundtrack. Kind of boom, boom, boom. You know, I mean, something futuristic, because it belongs to the world we're creating for the 2034 film. Now, a few people, like I said, told me that it sounded like Michael Jackson's Thriller-type energy, and I thought that was pretty good. Rest in peace, Michael, by the way. We miss you. I could see a younger crowd dancing to the rhythm of this particular sound, and you know, I thought, okay, this would be a good thing to bring the younger audience into the whole membership platform. The Angelpreneur, Building the Dream in Real Time, needed its own identity and its own series theme song. You know, so think like Friends, the TV series. And, you know, you kind of, when you hear their opening, you know exactly that Friends is on TV. You hear it, in the, you know, in the other room. Oh, my God, Friends episode's on. Once you start branding a sound, people kind of get the gist of what's coming up. And I wanted a kind of a theme song like that. So I created one. I'm not sure it'll be the one we'll use forever, but I think it does the job. And it explains what an entrepreneur is, because nobody knows what that is. And I wanted to explain it, so I did that through the song. So listen to that, and you'll learn something there for sure. Now, the other one is The Ocean Has a Soul. And this is the one I created for Clear Blue Oceans. Okay, and it needed to communicate our relationship with the oceans, its many plastic waste and debris issues, and to motivate the listener to take action, to help address some of the issues and increase awareness of them. It's a massive global problem nonetheless, and we're under no illusion that we're going to fix the problem, okay? But we can, at the very least, save some sea life, you know, marine birds and you know, fish, and also clean up some of the coastlines of our trash. Very important. And then, of course, we have Building a Human Future. Now, this is the one I talked about earlier, Entrepreneur Impact Fund, for portfolio companies. And it needed to speak to a larger human survival and impact mission behind kind of what we're building. And the song tells a story about, you know, water and power and, you know, issues that we're facing as we move into the future. And if we're going to build a human future, we need to eat, you know, and we need to eat, so we need to have water and food and the energy to make the water to grow the food. So the point is, you know, clean water, clean power, clean energy is kind of that genre. And anyway, so that song, Building a Human Future, it's got a pretty cool, upbeat, positive vibe as well. And of course, then there's the seventh song, Marissa's Reef, and it's called A Promise of Eternity. Now, that one had to come from somewhere entirely different, because that isn't really simply a project or a profit center or any of that, okay? And neither is Clear Blue Oceans, but this one for Marissa was personal. And it's a promise that I've carried for 21 years so far, and it shares some insight that I never even shared with many people. The origin of just how it all started, and along, you know, as I was walking along the raging river that became a stream, where I could feel Marissa's spirit leave, where she died, or the spot where she died. At least this is the way I recall it and the way I felt it at the time. And so the story kind of goes from there, and it showcases that I'll never stop until I build the reef. Of course, today we can do that through AI and with your help as people join this mission to build Marissa's Reef. Because now it's no longer just about my granddaughter, Marissa. Now it's about the spirit fish, which the song kind of shares how we came into that. And the beauty is that the spirit fish will represent lost children of natural disasters worldwide. And it's a really powerful tool. And we're going to have four of these Marissa Reefs in all of my corporate centers, Miami, Vegas, Newport, and Maui. That's the plan. I mean, it's literally a $2 billion plan by the time it's all said and done. But that's the plan. It'll take several, many years. Hopefully by 2030, we've got two of them open. But still, we're thinking about the future, and all of this stuff is going to be programmed into the 2034 film and series, because we're doing photorealistic AI-generated content, which means we can build Marissa's Reef into the film, and you're going to be able to see and experience the reef and the hotels and the cruises and all the stuff we're doing in a very photorealistic way. And, of course, that technology already exists. People are producing movies on their laptops and iPads already. It can be done. And it's only going to get better. And Agentis is going to do that under their entertainment division. So lots of good stuff going on, okay? So, you know, the question is, of course, why does the music really belong inside the ecosystem? I mean, other than to tell a story, which, of course, is an important part, but, you know, being the entrepreneur, it's also kind of very interesting to me that they're becoming a part of the whole onboarding of members, and basically, I don't know, they become part of the communication strategy, because music is merely just another communication channel, another discovery tool, if you will, another way for someone to encounter our ideas and our concepts and our models and our experiences and really get behind all the things we're doing. And so listening to a 4, 5, 6, or even 7 minute song, and of course Marissa's song is almost 8 minutes, that's the longest, most of them are under 5, because through a song one can suddenly understand and feel the idea. They get a vibe, they get emotions, and it stirs the inner soul, you know. So the person that hears Living the Love wants to understand the cruise program more. The person who listens to The Ocean Has a Soul will want to ask themselves, what are they going to do to help the oceans? The ones who hear 2034, The New World, they're going to become very curious about the film and their own future. You know, and then, of course, when you're building a human future, people are going to say, what the hell is that all about? You know, so that's going to get them to go to that and kind of figure it out. And, of course, A Promise of Eternity. Well, everybody's going to want to understand Marissa's Reef, and they're going to see the beauty of what that whole project represents. When they see hear the entrepreneur, they're going to want to know what this series is all about and what that even means. You know, and then, of course, when they feel the pulse, they'll know there's a podcast, okay? Of course, you hear little tidbits and clips in this podcast at the beginning and the end, but there's a whole, you know, song there that explains the whole pulse concept. So, you know, Marissa's song, of course, is very different, but I don't think of it as a membership tool. Marissa's Reef, you know, A Promise of Eternity, is really, you know, my granddaughter, And she was 7 years old when she was lost in August of 2005. And her loss, of course, changed our entire family and certainly my life. And what began with grief eventually, you know, became a promise that her short life needed to be remembered and had some meaningful value to still deliver to the rest of us who are living here, you know, on our planet. That promise, of course, became the vision for Marissa's Reef for Heavenly Helpers, which is 21 years now in the making. And we have a few more years to go before it actually hits the finish line. But I'm still working toward it, you know, every day. And now with AI, we have the ability to do it with the help of others. And hopefully that's where we go. The song will tell parts of that story in a unique way that can't be communicated through a business plan or a website or a presentation. It's not like a for-profit operation that, you know, has some kind of an economic return, which is one of the reasons I couldn't get it funded for many, many years. It's a very expensive proposition. But if there's no return on investors or return on investment, investors don't really want any part of it. And I can understand that from some logical thing. And nonprofit is fine to a certain degree, but we never really got set up to do that either. So anyway, the song shares a lot about Marissa's Reef and a spirit fish, and I think you should listen to it. I think you'll enjoy it. And of course, one thing I learned from creating these songs is that you really have to listen to them more than once. I really mean that, because you get into the rhythm and the vibe of the song, and the words kind of get lost in the rhythm, right? They're clear, and you can understand them if you focus on the lyrics. And so when you listen the second time, you say, wow, oh, that's what he said. Oh, that's what it is. You know, you listen to it a couple of times, you start hearing things that you didn't hear the first time or the second time. So it's always good to listen to them a couple of times. I've listened to all of them about five times, and sometimes I say, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. I said it this way, but I meant it that way. So there was a couple little mistakes. I didn't fix them. They're not that important. But, you know, the point is, listen to it more than a couple of times. I think I hope you enjoy it. And of course, you know, music becomes kind of like the bridge now between the content on the website. You know, we got like about 80 pages of content. Not all of it is active yet or live. It's hidden while we're correcting it. But lots of content there, and nobody's got time to read all that stuff, let's face it. The goal is to have enough content so you can focus on something you're interested in and focus on that, read that. These songs kind of give it to you in a snapshot, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, less. You hear a song, you pretty much get what that whole program's about. And I think that's important. I think it saves a lot of time. Okay, so moving along here on my outline, let's see what else did I want to talk about. Well, let's see. Yeah, I think I covered the show. And, well, I mean, bottom line is, you know, Agentis Interactive is basically the brain of our system. And everybody's invited to join for free as an Agentis member. You'll see that on pretty much all of our pages at the bottom, the big banner at the bottom. It says log in or join now. Just click on that. Give us your email. You're in. And you can access the hidden pages to do some more research. And you can go where you want to go and read what you want. You don't have to read it all. But you'll see the projects and the business and the opportunities and all the things we're doing. Hopefully in the next week or two, I try to get it done by the end of the month. You know, last week I said I'm shooting for the end of the month. Well, here it is, and I'm not ready. But, you know, it'll get done. You know, I've meetings after meetings in the last week, and then my songs kind of distracted me. But anyway, long story short is that we're getting it done, and you know, it's going to be done when it's ready. The public side, of course, introduces the vision, and the music creates that emotional connection, and the podcast explains my thinking kind of from me. I'm real. I'm not AI generated. This is the real guy. Okay. And membership, of course, opens up a whole nother level of discovery. And that's the ecosystem, and we're learning how to build it together kind of in real time. And that's what I mean by what I say, building the dream in real time. Because some days I'm building financial models, and then the next day I'm rebuilding website content pages. Then I'm negotiating travel concepts and partnerships. Or I might be you know, walking a trade show somewhere here in Vegas, meeting with manufacturers or whatever. I might be meeting with some people who someday might even come and leave some of our companies. I might be working with, you know, artificial intelligence, chat and Suno and a number of others. And some days I create songs, which I absolutely did this week. And, you know, some days I do a little bit of all of those things at the same time. So it's a full-time job for me, one that doesn't pay very well today, okay? But it's done out of love and passion and commitment to get to the finish line. And there's a lot of pieces to this big puzzle that I call the mother of all startups. It's one business forest ecosystem sprouting from the seeds that we planted together. And we're building it one tree at a time, collectively, in real time. And that's kind of unique. It's kind of different than anything you've probably ever seen. And, you know, it's the larger mission behind everything here, of course, is the Mauritius Reef and the resorts and the corporate centers and technology hubs. And of course, we're going to employ 3, 4, maybe up to 5,000 people by 2030, which is not a lot of people compared to the big companies. But these people will be passionately connected to the mission. And that doesn't even include, hopefully, 5 million members that are paid members. We might have 5 million free members by then, too. I mean, this will be a big thing. And if we go viral with some of the songs or some of the pages or some of the programs, the internet is a powerful tool of instant mass acceptance. You know, you have a viral video, you can have a million hits on YouTube. I mean, the point is, once you get it out there, this thing could grow pretty quickly. And I think that's pretty exciting. I mean, you know, the goal here is to get you to the website at Agentis. Join the club. Again, membership is free. And then, you know, maybe you'll simply follow the journey. Maybe you'll become a Club Zero member. Maybe you'll support an impact project. Maybe you'll become a customer or an executive producer in 2034. Or even a regular business partner, investor, employee. I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of maybes there, but we're building something for all of us. I mean, I might just be the conductor of the orchestra, but, you know, the music is going to be benefiting us all. And anyway, that's pretty much what I have, and I'm going to cut it off here. And I think next week I will have another exciting episode, I hope. And this one's only going to be around 50 to 53 minutes. So I'm signing off. I'm Peter, the Angelpreneur Ortman. And this is the Agentis Pulse, episode 2603. Thank you for coming along on the journey. And we'll keep imagining, keep building, and keep moving together toward the finish line. And so feel the pulse and get online and listen to the songs, and then let me know what you think. Thanks again, and talk to you soon. Feel the motion, follow your heart, as you say.